Okay, so Michael, and then with me roped in, and I have...
You roped me.
Well, you know, one of those things that evolve with the when we're working on the rosters, isn't it, Peter? The speaker's roster. To look, I guess... Actually, let me start. Next weekend, is the beginning of National Reconciliation Week. Not sure that you're aware of that. I'm not sure that we were aware of that when we picked the date for this because it got shuffled around a bit, but it is somewhat fortuitous. And it fits really well to, I guess, because I think as Christians, we have a very special relationship with reconciliation. When Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And to me, those two statements sum up the great story of reconciliation that runs right through Scripture. It is about reconciling us to God and that relationship, and it is reconciling each of us with one another. The rest is detail. The rest is method. The rest is... why, all of that. But that is, to me, the heart of who we are as Christians, being reconciled to God, reconciled to one another. And I see it actually at the heart of humanity in terms of the created people that God has made us, no matter what culture, and we'll be talking a little bit about that. So we've had some time to reflect today on perhaps the general centrality and meaning of reconciliation. Michael and I have been invited to share, I guess, our journey of a particular kind of reconciliation in terms of those of us who are non-Aboriginal Australian with those who are Aboriginal Australian. And it's been a long journey for us, and we're going to share some of that. So I'm going to share you my story, then Michael will share his story. Michael will also then tell you about the Vincent Reconciliation Group that we've belonged to for the last 12 years. Long time now. And then I will talk about a very particular project that we've been involved in, and then invite you to do some reflection on the place of reconciliation in your life. So that's how it's going to go this morning.
And we're not going to be here forever.
No. That's all pretty quick because Michael and I aren't very old, so our stories are pretty short. Basically, those of you who know me know that I was born and grew up in Albany, and I lived in a suburb called Lockyer. And aside from throwing up Alan Carpenter, there's only myself that probably you'd know from Lockyer. It was the state housing area, and it bordered on what was then the Aboriginal Reserve. So many of the children came, were with me in grade one, and that was my first encounter with Aboriginal people. I can remember my father was a real estate agent, and my family had been there for many generations, being driven around the Aboriginal Reserve and kind of sitting in the back of my father's car, recoiling in total horror of the situation, and I might say it was largely a reaction of fear. I can remember in my childhood walking up and down the main street on the weekend, seeing an Aboriginal man chasing his wife with a long stick in his hand, calling out drunkenly in the street. This has a big impact on a 9-year-old child. As I moved through primary school, my contact with Aboriginal children dropped away. They either dropped away from school. There was a great highlighted moment on the sports day when I think his name was Vivian Pickett, ran for our school and always won. And I think that must have been his 1 5 minutes of total affirmation. The rest of the time, I have absolutely no memory, which means I did not see them. As I progressed through high school, they were great, Aboriginal people and children that I had been in contact with, even in this remote way, was streamed away. I was streamed more into the academic, and goodness knows where they were streamed. It never occurred to me to ask. It wasn't really until Michael and I went overseas And I started to be aware of my attitudes and my total ignorance, really, of Aboriginal people in my country. And to be aware that as a country, this was something of great shame for us and for me personally. And so began a journey of discovery about myself. And so for me, joining the... I had a head knowledge, I suppose, about justice. I'd become a Christian in that time, and a very strong heart for social justice, and realising that God cared about everyone and that this was at the heart of my faith as well. There was a lot of inner work to do beyond the head knowledge, however. And so in joining the Vincent Reconciliation Group, I had several fold purposes. One was I wanted to be involved in my local community in something that was significant. And this was something that appealed, that I could do something that both had the community value to it, but also about reconciliation. The other, and I'll let Michael talk about Bridge Walk and all of that kind of thing, but I want to talk about a really important moment, and the reason I spent some time telling you my early story is because, I don't know if you're also aware, we have an Aboriginal nephew. Michael's older brother adopted Stephen fairly. He's not a stolen generation. I hasten to add his mother placed the child voluntarily for adoption. Steve, just before his 30th birthday, chose to try and find his Aboriginal family, and he did. And his 30th birthday was this joyous celebration of Princess White and his Aboriginal family, but the Morrisons. When I asked the Morrisons, "Where are you from?" they said, "Albany." So here I was brought face to face with, these were absolutely wonderful people, I have to say, totally giving to their community, people who were, I would just, you know, so proud to say their family, and quite a prominent Aboriginal family in terms of things that are being done. Jim Morrison is co-chair with Ian Robinson on the Bringing Them Home Committee. They've been involved in Yorgum, which is a healing centre, many different things. But that was where I was brought face to face with, boy, you know, we walk in parallel worlds. We live in parallel worlds. So for me, the journey with reconciliation has been one of an inner journey, an inner work, inner healing that has needed to happen to me, and inner transformation of attitudes and thoughts that I never knew I had.
Imagine we're at Stephen's place in Carlton's place, and this mad vision of two parallel families, and watching Stephen's adoptive mum, Julie, who I've known in our family many times, talk and wander around hopefully with Norma, Stephen's birth mother, was just unspeakable experience. Beautiful. And such graciousness and welcome, I think, on both sides, actually. Not denying the pain or story. I want to come at it slightly differently. So, as I was thinking, just coming here this morning, is that when did I join the Vincent Reconciliation Group?